Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather together on this fourth Sunday in Advent to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just to remind you of a few announcements, we will be having a Christmas Eve service on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, December the 24th. It will be at 6:30 p.m., a Christmas Eve candlelight service. So please come out and join us for that wonderful time of fellowship and worship. Again, it will be at 6:30 p.m., not at 7 o'clock, but at 6:30 p.m. So please plan to, again, be here with us for that. We will be having an ordination and installation service on December the 28th for those incoming officers at our 11 o'clock service. So please plan to join us for that. And of course, on January the 5th will be the first Sunday, and we will be having celebrating the Sacrament of Holy Communion. You will see in your bulletin, included in your bulletin, a message from the session and from the Corporate Administration Committee, which is providing an update on the Beyond 2025 campaign. That update, again, is in your bulletin. Please take the time to read it and take the time to read all of your bulletin to stay abreast of all that is happening here at Alney Presbyterian Church.
Our first reading this morning will come from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, verses 10 through 16, which can be found on page 591 of your pew Bible. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 10. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a young woman shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted." Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, which can be found in your pew Bibles on page 835. Matthew 1, verse 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had borne a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Hello, everyone. My name is Joseph. Pastor Barge had to step out for a moment. He'll be back a little later, but he asked me if I would fill in for him a little bit, so I'm here this morning. I'm sure you know me. You heard my story. I'm Mary's husband, stepfather of little Jesus. And I just thought I would check in on this fourth Sunday of Advent to say hello before the big day. Every year about this time, I visit a few churches to see how people are holding up amidst all the hustle and bustle of the season. And so I'm here today. Mary was planning to be with me this morning, but she had a conflict in schedule. She's participating in a production of the Magnificat at one of those big steeple churches this morning, so here I am, here by myself. I know all of you are familiar with my story, or our story. It's the story of the birth of Jesus from the gospel narratives of Luke and Matthew that you just heard this morning. Luke's version is the most expansive, and it tells the story from the perspective of my wife, Mary. She's the one, of course, that does all the heavy lifting and bringing Jesus into the world. And I just play a supporting role in Luke's version. But Matthew's version tells the story from my perspective, which is why it's so sparse. I'm not a man of many words, but I do feel compelled this morning to come and tell my side of the story. Matthew tends to suggest that I was calm, cool, and collected, that I wasn't bothered by it all, but in fact, I was very disturbed when Mary came to me and told me at first what was going on. Mary and I fell in love at first sight. We knew that we were made for each other, and we knew that we would one day become man and wife, and we were soon engaged to be married. And I know for all of you, engagement is more of a social arrangement. It's an arrangement where you promise yourself to someone, but you're not legally bounded to them. But in my day, to be engaged to someone was a legally binding arrangement. We were contractually married for all intents and purposes. Our families were involved, our friends were involved, we were contractually and legally married. And so even though we had not yet consummated our relationship, even though we were not living with each other, we were for all intents and purposes married. Everyone was excited for us, our family and our friends. They were all excited for us. We were just waiting for the big day, waiting for it to happen. And that's when Mary came to me, and she said she needed to talk. She had something very important to tell me. And she seemed somewhat distraught, she seemed agitated, and I just assumed she was having a case of the jitters. You know how some people get before big life-changing events. But what she said next floored me. That's when she told me that she was, well, she said she was pregnant. I was flabbergasted. I was shocked. I was angry. I was confused. All I could say to her was, Mary, how could you do this? How could you do this to me? How could you do this to us? How could you do this to our families? How could you do this to God? How could you do this? If that wasn't bad enough, she insisted that it was not her fault. In fact, she made up some pitiful story about angels and about the Holy Spirit and about being overcome by the Holy Spirit. But I was so enraged, I didn't even hear half of what she was saying. I was so angry, I didn't know what I was going to do. I know Matthew wrote that I was a righteous man because I decided to put her away quietly instead of publicly shaming her, where she could have very well been stoned in accordance to the law. But that was only partly true. I decided to put her away quietly because I was just too embarrassed by the whole affair. I just wanted to get it all behind me. I knew that if I held her up to public ridicule, that I would just be more and more embarrassed, and so I wanted to get it all behind me and get on with my life. And that's what I decided to do. But that's when it happened. That's what had happened to me late at night, a dream. The angel came to me and pretty much confirmed what Mary had told me, pretty much said that what Mary told me was right. The little baby growing in her body was indeed God's baby. And that I needed to get with the program because this was bigger than me. It was bigger than Mary. It was bigger than the both of us. It was about God. It was about what God was doing in the world for the world. Well, needless to say, I owed Mary a big apology. And I had to go tell her that wherever this holy story is going to take us, that we were in this together, me, her, and God. And so that's how this story, this birth story of the baby Jesus began. I have to say, on the one hand, I was filled with an overwhelming sense of excitement because the baby that Mary and I would be bringing into the world was not only God's baby, but he was going to be the savior of our people. That's what we were all waiting for. We were waiting for a savior. And we were told that this little baby was going to be the savior of the world. That's why we named him Jesus. The name Jesus means save. It means God save. And it was a very popular name in my time. Lots of babies were named save. That's what the name Isaiah means, save. That's what the name Joshua means, save. And that's what Jesus, the name Jesus means save. If you've ever been a part of a people who've been grounded down, if you've ever been a part of a people who've been oppressed and humiliated, then I'm sure you can understand the deep longing that we have for a Savior. But this baby was not only going to be the Savior of his people, he was going to be the Savior of the whole world. He was going to be the one who saved us from the power of sin and death. He was going to be the one who saved all of us human beings from the horrible things that we human beings do to each other. And so I was filled with excitement because for some reason God had called me to be a part of what God was doing in the world. I don't know why God chose me. I'm just a simple carpenter. I don't know much. I suspect it might have had something to do with the fact that I was a descendant of David, the great King David, but that was many, many years ago. But I was just excited to be a part of what God, this new thing God was doing in the world. But I have to say that I was also a little bit afraid. Afraid of the immense responsibility that lie before me. I'm sure that some of you parents have felt the same way the first time you realized that you were going to be a parent. Maybe it was in the hospital when you laid eyes on the little bundle of joy that was your baby, and you saw how tiny and vulnerable and dependent the baby was. And you knew deep down inside, you knew that whatever had been going on in your life, whatever you had been, you had to get it straightened out because this little bitty baby was depending on you. And that's how I felt. I felt that I had to get my life together. I had to get things together because this little bitty baby was going to be depending on me. This little bitty baby that's not only my baby, but this little bitty baby that's God's own baby. He was going to be depending on me. God was going to be depending on me. In my day, the responsibility of raising and educating a child was the job of the father. And I knew I was going to spend a lot of time with little Jesus. And indeed, I did. I was the one who taught him just about everything that he needed to know at a young age. I taught him how to tie his sandals. I was the one who taught him how to skip a stone across a pond. I was the one who taught him how to fish. He would later grow up to teach others to be fishers of men, but I was the one who first taught him how to fish. And of course, I was the one who taught him the family trade of carpentry. Even the Son of God has to learn how to make a living. And that was my job. It was to help this little baby boy to grow up to be a good, decent, responsible man. And Jesus was a fast learner. In fact, he was a very precocious young boy. In fact, his appetite for knowledge exceeded what I was able to give him. I remember once when we were out on a family outing in Jerusalem, and me and Mary lost track of where he was. We couldn't find him anywhere. We went to all the places we thought a 12-year-old boy might be. We went to the gymnasium. We went to the arcades. We went to the stadium. We went everywhere. Couldn't find him anywhere. Then Mary said, "Hey, why don't we go by the temple?" And so we went, and there he was, arguing the finer points of the law with the graybeards of the temple. And I was so proud that this little boy, this child was given to me by God, God's self, and that I had a role in playing what God had planned for God's salvation of the world. But it's not so much what I taught Jesus that matters. It's what the baby Jesus taught me. It's what he taught me about God. He taught me that when God taps you on the shoulder for something, you should be prepared for your life to be totally upended. I said earlier, I'm a man of few words, and that's true. I'm not what you might call a loud person. I'm not a boisterous person. I'm not a person that likes to be in the limelight. I'm not the adventurous type. I don't like to make waves or call attention to myself. In fact, Mary and I intended to live a nice, quiet, low-key little life on the outskirts of Nazareth. But then God came calling and totally disrupted all of our plans. I had thought that maybe partnering with God would be relatively easy, that it would mean comfort and ease and success, that everything would be smooth from now on out. After all, it was God who called us. but far from it. Indeed, things were very difficult. One moment I was fleeing into Egypt like a refugee. The next moment I'm sleeping in a nasty, dirty, stinky manger with animals. Then the moment after that I'm trying to stay one step ahead of a murderous king. It was more adventure that I had intended for myself. And I know all of you are familiar with the Hallmark card version of these events where everything is sanitized and pretty and God's holy presence seems so obvious. But let me assure you this morning that it was nothing like that. It was dirty and it was gritty. It was scary. It was harrowing. And there were times when I wondered out loud, just what in the world have I gotten myself into? Maybe my life would have been much simpler had I simply dismissed Mary, put her away quietly. I like things to be done decently and in order. I've worked hard all my life to do what's right. I didn't want there to be a whiff of scandal anywhere associated with my name. It was important for me to project a very positive image. But then God came calling. And sure, Mary and I, we knew the circumstances surrounding Jesus' birth. We heard the angel and was visited by the angel, but other people didn't see any of that or hear any of that. And so there was the gossip and the whispers and the talk of scandal. You know how vicious people can be. And so we had to live our lives under not only the difficulty of what God had called us to do, but under the scandal and the whispers. I guess what I'm trying to say is that saying yes to God required me to reorder everything I thought. Called me to reorder everything I thought I knew about fairness, reorder everything I knew about justice, about goodness, about purity, about righteousness. And it required me to choose the things I dreaded the most. Scandal, messiness, difficulty, danger, unsettledness. But that's the way it is when God breaks into your life. You can expect God to turn your world upside down. You can expect God to totally disrupt the carefully crafted plans that you've made for yourself. You can expect God to disrupt the carefully crafted image that you have for yourself. And that's what God did to me. Joseph, the simple little carpenter who wanted to live a nice, quiet life on the edge of Nazareth. But there's one other thing that the baby Jesus taught me. He taught me that even in the midst of all that we went through, He taught me that God was with us. That God was with me. That God was with us in this little vulnerable baby. This baby that needed a mother and a daddy. This baby that needed to be fed regularly and needed its diapers changed. He told us that God was with us. And I admit I would have felt much, much better if God had been with us in a whole legion of the angels that came to visit me and Mary. I'd have felt better. But that's not the way God came to be with us. That's not the way God comes into the world. God came with us in this little bitty, vulnerable baby. And that's the message that I want to leave with you all this morning on this fourth Sunday in Advent. I know God has called each and every one of you as well. And you know as well as I do that the road is not always smooth. And you know, too, the kind of world that we live in, a dark, dark world. And that our vocation as God's people is not an easy one. But it was never promised to be easy. There are dangers all around, perils all around. But we are reminded that God is with us. God is with you. God is with this little congregation here this morning. God is with us. I hope that propels you too to have the courage to do what I did, to say yes to God, even when it means scandal, when it means danger, when it means difficulty, to say yes, God, help me to get with the program, your program, for the saving of the whole world. Thank you for having me here this morning.